In our world, which is so fast-paced and dictated by success, not only qualitatively, but quantitatively, there is an emphasis and a need for arriving or understanding what exactly the formula for success is. I recall there was a slogan which once hung in the United States, which had said, "Whoever dies and has the most amount of toys wins." Obviously, we know that certainly from a Jewish perspective, this is not true. We believe in one of the Ani Mamin in life after death. Life continues, and one, of course, takes with them the mitzvos and his good deeds that he performs during his life, and he leaves with him a legacy based on the morals, the values that he was able to instill in the generations that would follow. Classically, the connection between this week's Parsha of Vayechi and the Haftarah is, fortunately for us, the formula for success which is promoted both by Yaakov Avinu in the Parsha and by David HaMelech in the Haftarah. And therefore the inherent connection between the Parsha and the Haftarah are the needs of Yaakov and David to necessitate and to formulate what exactly it means for a person to be successful, or let us say, what is the formula, how a person arrives at that success in order to perpetuate his future. We are prone to think, even within a religious mindset, a religious framework, that success is defined as someone who knows all of Shas Baal Peh, someone who never speaks Lashon Hara his entire life. And while these obviously are extremely positive attributes and a tremendous feat in human nature to accomplish, nonetheless they paint to a certain extent fictitious characteristics, fictitious characters. Because everybody makes mistakes, everyone is prone to sin at some point in their life. And therefore when it comes to reality, David and Yaakov are extremely sensitive and aware that this is not exactly what dictates the formula to success. And interestingly enough, when you look at the opening of the Haftarah, the Navi tells us, "Vayikrevu yimei David lamut, vayitzav et Shlomo beno lemor." David's days are drawing near, and he calls upon his son Shlomo to give him his doctrine of direction, how exactly he should lead his life. Very similar to the Parsha, obviously, whereby Yaakov also congregates his family, his sons, he assembles them around his bed also to give them the last words of advice which would seem to be clearly so important in order for them to continue. Now what does David HaMelech say to Shlomo? Anochi holech bederech kol haaretz vechazakta vehayita laish veshamarta et mishmeret Hashem Elokecha lalechet bedrachav. David says, I am going in the ways of every man on this earth. In other words, he is going to die. Vechazakta vehayita laish. You should be strong and become a man. And then David says, you should keep the Torah. Lishmor chukotav, mitzvatav, mishvatav, veidotav. You should follow the laws and the commandments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kevyachol kakatuv b'Torat Moshe. L'man taskil et kol asher ta'aseh, ve'et kol asher tifneh sham. So that you will live your life wisely and make the correct decisions. L'man yakim Hashem et dvaro asher diber alai. So that God will indeed establish your word as being the predicate and the basis for the Jewish future. Lo yikarei lecha ish mi'al kisei Yisrael. If you follow the doctrine of the Torah and the commandments of the Torah, then indeed you will be established as the kingdom that will last forever. And the question is obvious. Firstly, David tells Shlomo, walk in the ways of Torah, keep the Torah mitzvot, establish the mishpat, the ways of the laws that the Torah tells us. Why does David need to preface this entire instruction with Anochi Holech Bederech Kol Haaretz? I am going in the ways of every man. In other words, he is going to die. And if indeed David is trying to display a attribute of modesty, why not just tell Shlomo? Understand that modesty is important. David is talking to Shlomo now, it's the end of his life. Tell him directly. Let it be clear to his son that anava, that modesty is first and foremost as part of a person's attributes and characteristic. Why not tell him directly? Why preface his instruction by saying, Anochi holeich bederech kol haaretz, I am going in the ways of every man in this world. And indeed, the initial advice that David gives Shlomo is also very strange. V'chazakta v'hayita la'ish. Be strong and you will be a man. You will be a man? Is this what we mean? Is this how we are to understand outstanding character? Just for a person to be strong and to be a man? David afterwards clearly tells Shlomo, follow the ways of Torah, follow the ways of Mishpatim, which is obviously the path to becoming a tzaddik, a righteous individual. Why then limit the first instruction that he gives to Shlomo, which would appear to be the pinnacle, the core, the focus of what he's telling his son, v'chazakta v'hayita la'ish? Be strong and simply be a man. Difficult to understand. In order to appreciate David HaMelech's message to his son Shlomo, I'd like to refer to the Gemara in Ketuvot. The Gemara in Ketuvot on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph tells about a halacha, ma'avirin et ha'meit milifnei ha'kala. When it comes to two mitzvot, coinciding with one in one specific place, whereby they are crossing over each other, I have a choice where I'm walking on a derech, I'm walking on a path, and I can either bring the mace, Rahman al-Itslan, someone who had passed away, and be no sayas arano, to carry his coffin in order to bury the mate, to facilitate the burial faster, or I can allow a kala, a bride who has just been married, I can allow her entire people who are escorting her to the chuppah, I can allow them to go in front of the mace. Who goes first? So the Gemara says that if you have the choice of the two, you allow the kala to go first. You tell the people who are being malava the mace, who are escorting the person to be buried, you tell that entire ensemble to wait, and you allow the kala to go and to get married first. She has first right within the ways of passing. However, the Gemara says, "Zeh v'zeh milifnei melech Yisrael." When it comes to a king's entourage, if someone is escorting the king somewhere, then the king always takes precedence. He will go before a kala, he will go before a mace, before the mitzvah of bearing the mace. The king always takes precedence and his entourage over everyone. The Gemara, however, says that the Chachamim had an experience whereby Agrippas HaMelech, who it's debatable whether or not he was a Jew, but it appears that Agrippas HaMelech allowed a kala to go in front of him. And the Gemara says, Chachamim shibchu chachamim, the wise men praised Agrippas for behaving in such fashion. And the question is rather obvious. If indeed a melech is supposed to take precedence over everyone, and the Gemara says, melech shemachal al kavodo ein kavodo machul, a king who decides to forego his respect is not allowed to do so, because som tasim alecha melech, a melech Yisrael represents the hand of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a partner of Hashem, and we can never forego the respect that we are to give a king. How could the Chachamim, the wise men, praise Agrippas, who allowed the kala to go first? He actually behaved halachically incorrect. He should have gone first. And the Gemara says, Parsha Drochim Havoi. In actuality, it appears that although there was a crossing taking place, it wasn't the type of crossing that was noticeable. It was unnoticeable. It was a place where it appeared as if the melech was going first, but he was actually letting the kala go first, but it wasn't obvious, and therefore he behaved properly. Halachically, he really didn't do what was correct. The Gemara nonetheless praises the melech because in his modesty, he wanted to allow the kala to go first. What we see here is a tremendous statement by the Gemara. The first is that this Melech Agrippus did not gloat in his stature or status of what type of person he was. And not only was he cognizant of halacha, but he realized that he was willing to inconvenience himself for the sake of behaving humane, for the sake of derech eretz, for the sake of respecting the mitzvah, the happiness that a kala would have as she was being escorted to her chuppah, for that sake, he was willing to forego his kavod, his respect. True, halachically, since he did not display that he was foregoing his kavod, the Chachamim praised him. Because halachically, a melech is never allowed to forego his respect. But the Chachamim praised the melech here because clearly he demonstrates a combination not only of incorporating the importance of halacha, but the importance of incorporating humanity and what we would call normalcy. This is precisely what David HaMelech is telling Shlomo. The first ingredient that a person has to have to ensure his success, believe it or not, is he has to behave like a normal, decent human being. Unfortunately, a description of something which is rare in our generation. It's difficult to find what we would call normal people. And therefore, David says to Shlomo before he gives him any advice, Anochi holeich bederech kol haaretz. Understand, I am normal like any other person. And unfortunately, I am going to die like any other person expires at the end of their life. But David is telling Shlomo, not only am I normal, but understand that that is the secret to success. This is the David HaMelech, who when he made a mistake and demonstrated a major fallacy of his human behavior, what was the first thing he said to the Navi when the Navi criticized him for the episode of what happened with Bathsheba? Chatati laHashem. I have sinned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I too, says David, am human. I am prone to err as a human being. And therefore, David wants Shlomo to appreciate what it means to be normal, what it means to be a human being. He is concerned. Let us understand, Rabbi Isai. This is the Shlomo HaMelech who writes Kohelet at a young age, who makes a statement, Hevel havalim amar Kohelet hakol havel. All in this world, all materialism, everything physical is worthless. It's unnecessary. It doesn't do anything for us. And David says to Shlomo, be careful. You want to be spiritually lofty. That's a fantastic thing to aspire towards. But you gotta keep your feet on the ground. You have to be part of this world as well. Shlomo is the kind of person who makes statements. I want to go through Shas. I can quote all the Reb Chaim Shmulevitz and all the Reb Chaim Brisks in the world on Shas. I can eat glatt kosher cheese, says Shlomo HaMelech. And David tells him, but remember, you might want to out-from everybody, but the first thing you have to be a Jewish leader, is to be a decent human being. And therefore, the first instruction that David preempts to Shlomo is, V'chazakta v'hayita le'ish. Don't go on to pursue the Torah. Don't go on to pursue righteousness and tzidkut until you understand what it means to have human decency. And part of human decency is being cognizant of the fact that you are subject and prone to human fallacy. Unfortunately, in our generation, there is a shortage of normal people. A friend of mine, a Rav, a fellow Rav, who certainly would consider himself a normal person, and I would say that he certainly is, although he really happens to be an outstanding Talmud Chacham. He said someone told him that Chalila, when the time comes for him to pass on, they're going to place him in a glass case and put him in a museum on display. And he said, why? And so someone told him, because you're one of the few normal people that people know. So normalcy is something that has to be preserved. We have to see what normalcy means. It's hard for us to understand what it means in our times. Normal is subject to interpretation. And therefore, David tells Shlomo, the first thing you gotta be to lead any people is to be normal, is to be a human being. V'chazakta v'hayita la'ish. Then David continues and says, V'shamalta et mishmeret Hashem Elokecha, lalechet bidrachav, lishmor chukotav, keep the chukim, the mitzvot, the mishpot, the mishpotim, the idiot, all that's written, katatuv b'torah Moshe, all that's written in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu and Kadosh Baruch Hu Kevyachol, then you can go on and become a tzaddik. But the first thing you gotta be is an ish, a decent person. And ultimately, this is really what Yaakov Avinu desires from his children as well. The Torah tells us in Perek Mem Tet, Pasuk Aleph, Vayikra Yaakov el banav vayomer. Yaakov tells his children when they are around his bedside, Hey asvu v'agid alachem et asher yikra etchem b'acharit hayamim. Gather around, he says, and I will reveal to you what will apparently transpire with the coming of the end of the days. Says Rashi, Bikesh Yaakov legalot et hakeitz v'nistalka mimenu ashchina. As we would interpret in the simple understanding, the Gemara tells us, and Rashi quotes it, Yaakov wanted to reveal what would happen in the end of days, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu left his presence and therefore he was unable to do so. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz says a tremendous insight. That is not the way to read the Pasuk. But rather, Yaakov wasn't attempting to reveal what would transpire in the end of the days. Yaakov was actually offering a remedy to bringing the Geula, to being Mekarev, to bringing closer the redemption of the Jewish people. Yaakov says to his children, Vayomer, he says, Hey Asvu, when you learn to be Asmu, to be Osef, to be one, to be together, to unify, because Yaakov obviously was aware that his sons were not getting along so well, then ve'agid lachem et asher yikra etchem b'acharit hayamim. Then you will be privy to bring, not only to see, but to actively bring and escort the geula, the redemption of the Jewish people, that much closer to actually happen. Agid lachem et asher yikru. You will be part of bringing the geula if and only if he'asvu. If you learn to get along, if you learn to unify, learning to get along means the ability to forgo human error, to maintain human decency, and to overlook failures that might exist amongst us, and of course, differences. They should never serve as obstacles to obstruct our ability to be one and to unify as a nation. And therefore, Emir Tzah Hashem, if we maintain human decency both amongst ourselves as individuals, and we understand what normalcy requires of us, and we ultimately exemplify that behavior as a nation, then we will be zoche to claim that we are an integral part of hastening the geula, of bringing the redemption, and we'll be able to proclaim as one, chazak chazak v'nit chazek, Lirot b'tuv Yerushalayim, b'mhera b'yameinu, amen, Shabbat Shalom. The question that we should ask around the Shabbat table for Parshat Vayechi: why does the Parsha begin by telling us how long Yaakov lived? Why didn't Yaakov have all of his sons swear that they would bury him in Ma'arat HaMachpelah, and not only Yosef? Shabbat Shalom.